I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Newcastle United is a, how can I put this, unique club in so many ways. Things are never calm, never simple, and certainly never boring. Win or lose, something happens. Good form brings expectation, excitement, and a party atmosphere to the city, while four games without a win means doom and gloom and a whole lot of shouting. And that's all before you even mention the goddamn takeovers. St. James's Park casts a shadow over the city in a perfect metaphor for the relationship between the club and its fans. To play for Newcastle, you must be a certain type of person, understanding not only the values and size of the institution, but also the fact that football will be a constant part of your life on Tyneside. Give your all for the shirt, and there's no better place on the planet to play football, but still, so many aspirational players decide that it's not for them. Lured away by the bright lights of London, of Madrid, of Wigan? My name is Adam Cleary, and these are 10 players who regret leaving Newcastle United. Number 10, Andy Carroll. Big Andy had everything to go down in Newcastle United folklore. Born in Gateshead, grew up supporting the club, wasn't stupidly booted out to Southampton as a teenager because he was apparently perceived as not being good enough, the stage was set. Newcastle's relegation to the Championship in 2009 even cleared the way for his chance as Michael Owen, Mark Viduka and the previous owner of the number 9 shirt, Obafemi Martins, all moved on. He finished top scorer with 19 goals as the club bounced back to the Premier League at a canter. He was handed the iconic squad number, smashed a hat-trick against Aston Villa, and already, talk of him going after Shearer's 206 record began to ripple around. England call-ups, rave reviews, and transfer speculation inevitably followed, and in January 2011, Carroll moved to Liverpool for £35 million. Sadly though, the price tag weighed heavily on his shoulders, and things, let's just say, did not work out. From there, he moved to West Ham, where injury blighted his admittedly popular spell before finally returning home in 2019. How different things might have been if he'd never left. Number 9, Shay Given. After making over 400 appearances for the club, Shay Given traded it all in for a move to big spending Manchester City 6 months before Newcastle's relegation. I mean, nobody could blame him, of course, as he'd earned a reputation as one of the best in the Premier League, largely because of how minging the club had been defensively for a number of years. Just days after a 5-1 humiliation at the hands of Liverpool, and while Newcastle were at their lowest ebb in many years, he'd finally had enough and walked away. While at the Etihad Stadium, Given enjoyed a season and a half of regular football before being ousted by Joe Hart, eventually only making cup appearances. Finally shipped off to Aston Villa, he lasted less than a year there before being usurped by Brad Guzan, and the rest, as they say, is Middlesbrough. It's a real possibility that with Shay Given still in the side, Newcastle wouldn't have gone down, and who knows how things might have unfolded for both him and the club if that had been the case. Number 8, Charles Nzogbia. Bobby Robson's final signing as Newcastle United boss in 2004 was a talented 16-year-old French left winger from Le Havre. As well as strikers, exciting, exuberant and creative players have always had a place in the hearts of many Newcastle fans, and from early on in his time at the club, he looked the real deal. Links to the likes of Arsenal and Tottenham followed, and Nzogbia just couldn't contain his excitement. He wanted out. Nothing materialised though, and the Frenchman stayed on, but as the going got tough, he got restless. In January 2009, following an entirely on-brand moment when Joe Kinnear called him insomnia, Charlie Boy left Newcastle for the glitz, glamour and metropolitan lifestyle of Wigan Athletic. The fans loved him there, but the fact this wasn't one of the big North London clubs hung heavy on his attitude. After a spell at Villa, he retired in 2016 after a medical at Nantes revealed an underlying heart problem. Number 7, Sebastian Bessong. Another of the post-relegation deserters, and perhaps the toughest one to take, Newcastle gave Cameroon defender Sebastian Bessong his big break in English football when they signed him in 2008. Over the course of the next season, as Newcastle imploded on a number of occasions, Bessong was perhaps the only man to enhance his reputation. His pace, calmness in possession, and leadership made him a huge hit, and most fans hoped he'd stay on and learn the game even more by helping Newcastle make it out of the Championship. Nope, instead he moved to Tottenham Hotspur for £8 million. Sadly though, Bessong's career in North London stagnated completely and, after growing tired of the lack of first team opportunities, he moved on to Norwich and subsequently fell down the leagues with both them and Peterborough United. Number 6, Johan Cabaye. Look, yeah, alright, in the 6 months following his departure from Newcastle, Cabaye won more trophies than his former club did points. However, shiny trinkets are all well and good, but the PSG fans just never quite took to him the same way we Geordies adored him. Thus, I choose to believe that Johan Cabaye wishes he'd stayed at Newcastle, and that is all I've got to say on the matter. Number 5, Obafemi Martins. In many ways, Martins was tailor-made for success at Newcastle. Football is an entertainment business, and he was a crowd pleaser. However, his enraging inconsistency and lack of nerve when things weren't going well left a sour taste in the mouth. And so it proved when, having been relegated, he jumped ship to Wolfsburg. Which was a shame, because had Martin stayed at the club fit and focused, he'd have fired them back into the Premier League and cemented his status as a club legend. In reality, he just had an underwhelming year in Germany and then moved to Rubin Kazan. Still though, it was maybe worth him leaving to be the man who most directly profited from the most Arsenal moment in the entire history of Arsenal moments by tapping in that goal to win Birmingham City the Carling Cup. Now playing in China after a spell with Seattle Sounders in the MLS, his constant moving around suggests that he has struggled to settle since kissing goodbye to St. James's Park. Number 4, Andros Townsend. By his own admission, Andros Townsend really wanted to stay at Newcastle and help get them back into the Premier League, but his heart lay with playing for the England team, and there was a World Cup on the horizon. Thus, he jumped ship to Crystal Palace, hoping that by staying in the Premier League, his recent performances would get him back into the fold. They didn't, though, and since leaving Newcastle, he's managed a measly 17 minutes in an England shirt, coming on as a sub with the game already over against Lithuania. And I mean, no disrespect to Lithuania here, but however, man, you could have been in that pylon after the comeback against Norwich. Number 3, Jonathan Woodgate. While it doesn't strike me as an entirely terrible life to just sun yourself by a Spanish pool, collecting outlandish sums of money and just having sex with Kate Lawler all day, Jonathan Woodgate would probably, if pressed, wished he'd stayed in the Northeast. Not because he was going to achieve at Newcastle what he could potentially have achieved at Madrid, but because by the time he'd finished his first game for the Spanish Giants, his reputation had changed forever. From one of England's brightest talents held back from greatness by injury, to probably the worst signing in the entire history of one of Europe's biggest, greatest clubs. Yep, on the 22nd of September 2005, over a year after he'd initially signed for them, he made his debut in a league match against Athletic Bilbao. He scored an own goal, and he got sent off. How much easier it could have been back on Tyneside. Number 2, Jose Enrique. Jose Enrique, we're in the top 6, or rather we were for that brief hilarious afternoon in April 2012. With our former left-back deputising in goal for the dismissed Pepe Reina, Newcastle leading his Liverpool side 2-0 in a game that would see them move clear in the race for Europe, he definitely regretted swapping Tyneside for Merseyside the summer prior. Don't get me wrong, wanting to leave Ashley's Newcastle for any Liverpool team is fair enough, but doing it by saying the club would never again make the top 6 and then having them beat you while they go and do just that makes you look a bit of a tit. Still though, it was a bit of a shame the way that Jose Enrique actually left Newcastle, having been such a consistent and elegant performer and helping the club get back on its feet during his 4-year stay at the club. But with injuries being so prominent, Enrique quickly fell out of favour at Liverpool, and after a brief stint at Real Zaragoza, However, he retired from the game entirely. Number 1, Demba Ba. This one is a bit contentious, yes, because Demba Ba is a man who knew he wanted to move away from Newcastle the moment he signed for them. A supremely talented striker, he scored 29 goals in 54 games during his 18-month-long career on Tyneside before moving to Chelsea. But it was always on his mind to fast-track his way to the top, as evidenced by the 7.5 million buyout clause in his contract that made his move there possible in the first place. Thing is, his all-round game being that excellent, there is no doubting his ability to play at the highest level. But the man who was never supposed to get this far into his career due to a chronic knee issue never had it as good as he did at St James's Park. It started so well for him at Chelsea, but after falling out with Jose Mourinho, he flitted around China and Turkey, where he currently plays for the league champions, without ever returning to any of Europe's top leagues. Newcastle might not have returned to the Champions League if he stayed, but they definitely wouldn't have been relegated either.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.